You are listening to the Flight Test Podcast, Episode 2.
Welcome to the Flight Test Podcast. Flight Test is all about educating, entertaining, and elevating the world of flight. If you like radio control planes, helis, FPV flying, multi-rotors, or scratch building, this podcast was made just for you. Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome to episode 2 of Flight Test Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. We realize that an hour is a big part of a person's day or commute or however you consume this podcast. So just want to thank you guys for sticking around and all the great feedback and comments we've gotten on the show and the constructive criticism. We appreciate that too. But we take very seriously the time you spend with us, and we want to be respectful of that and give you the best content we possibly can. So David mentioned this that last...
Well, first off, you are...
Oh, yes. I'm Austin, and we have a few other people here.
Josh Scott.
David Windestone.
Chad Capper.
And Josh Bixler.
And David mentioned last week that we didn't really talk about anything RC-related for our podcast.
Fail.
But we got kind of personal, shared some stories, had some laughs.
Cried a little,
and just shared some really beautiful things.
I'm glad I missed that.
But that'll be an element of the podcast, so just wanted to make people aware of that. You know, we'll have some personal stuff in there. But we're also going to bring you a lot of great RC content, which is what today's going to be about. So today we're going to be talking about firsts, favorites, and worsts. So that'll be coming up here shortly. Should provide some hilarity, I'm
sure. Is that the structure of the whole episode, that one topic, or are we...
We're also going to be breaking up. Very first, we're going to be doing a little intro with Josh Scott because last episode he wasn't with us, so we're going to find out a little bit more about Josh Scott. And then we're going to be doing the main segment, First Favorites, Worst. And then we're going to be doing our lightning round Q&A, which seemed to be pretty big success.
A lot of comments on that.
Yeah.
So We're going to be faster.
We're going to be faster,
but we're really lying to you. We're going to just ramble on.
We had like over 100, I think.
150.
Yeah. So we're not going to get to all of them, but we're going to try to address a lot of the top ones. Intro with Josh Scott. Josh Scott, tell us who you are and what you do at Flight Test.
I am Josh Scott, and I have been a noob for 3 years.
Welcome, Josh.
I'm proud to say it.
Were we supposed to do that in unison?
I thought so.
You guys haven't been in one of these meetings before, have you?
Well, no.
I think a big question is always, why is he still learning? That's because every time that you see me learning something, I'm actually learning it for the first time, which I'm cool with that. I enjoy what I do here at Flight Test, and I enjoy what I'm able to bring because I feel like I'm surrounded by geniuses, and I don't mean that as a compliment, because we're trying to appeal to a lot of different people at a lot of different levels, and a lot of times some things that people say are kind of over their heads and also in Swedish. And so I think it's good to have that balance. And I'm glad that I can ask questions that people might be too intimidated to ask. I'm glad that I can make mistakes that people can relate to. They make similar mistakes. And so for me, it's not about competition. It's not about trying to prove to the world what I can do and how far I've come. For me, it's more about just keeping the little man involved and kind of being here for the underdog. So, the reason why I'm still a noob is because actually I'm one of the few people who doesn't do flight tests full-time. I have my own full-time job and obviously a family as well. So I don't really get the opportunity to fly as often as I would like to and as often as a lot of these other guys get to. So with that comes a little bit of inexperience, but... I think inexperience can be a good thing.
Your total time of education's probably been like the equivalent of a couple of months.
You can take all the flight test episodes that I'm in and put them together, and that will total my hours of
flight time and experience.
And that's specifically the time you're flying, which is even less than the time that, you know, because sometimes you don't get the sticks.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, but like I said, I'm good with that. I'm happy with what I do.
You're a very experienced noob.
Thank you.
So what do you do for work then?
For work, I actually work at Faith Family Church, which is in Canton, Ohio, and I am one of the music directors there. And so my job is I play music, different instruments. I write music. We actually spend some time in the recording studio. We have a couple EPs that we have out. Shameless plug there.
But you didn't plug it yet because you didn't say the name of it.
Well, yeah, I'm debating.
Hey, what is the name of it?
We'll get there. maybe. But I also train a lot of other musicians. I'm honored to be able to work with some younger musicians and kind of train them musically and even just, in a leadership role because, I'm not going to be around forever. Sad to say.
What?
So that's right. So you got to look to the next generation and teach them well.
Inspire them and equip them, huh?
Let them lead the way. That's right.
Nice.
So this was kind of a fun question that four of us answered last episode, episode one, but you weren't here to answer it. So what is a typical day of Josh Scott like? And if you're like any of us, none of us really have typical days, but
no.
Just do what you can with that.
Yeah, what does a typical day look like? Every single day of my life is completely different, and it's packed full because I'm sort of I think you'd call it a yes man, where I just want to help people out and do whatever I'm asked to do. And then so I have several different groups of people that ask me to do, and so I always say yes. And then my wife fills up all the extra space with things that I have to do. Get to do, I mean. I'm privileged
good
to do.
Good catch, good catch.
ambiguous.
When I'm not working or doing flight tests, I try to spend as much time possible with my family. I have a beautiful, caring, understanding wife, Heather. We've been married for almost 7 years. And I have a 5-year-old son, Logan, and he just started kindergarten. So every single opportunity that I get to see him is just golden because now he's in school and doing important things like that and doesn't have as much time for his mom and dad. So, man, you said we weren't going to be as personal as the last time.
Oh, well,
tissue.
Too late
he's
now.
He's tearing up now.
What's a typical flight test day for Danny?
Again, there's no such thing as a typical flight test day. Flight tests, we try to be as organized as possible.
That's not true.
No, actually, we try.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. We epically fail.
I know. Yeah. I stopped trying.
Yeah. When a shoot day is coming up, I get emails about what we're going to be doing, and automatically I have an understanding that we're actually going to be doing about 15% of that, and the rest is going to be made up by the seat of our pants, because a lot of times things just don't work out the way that we plan. Well, every time they don't work out the way that we plan.
Has there ever been one episode that has actually gone completely to plan?
Probably. It's probably our most boring episode ever.
Right.
The Fox 8 news thing that we did.
I was just going to say, the interview on Fox 8, when we were live and on time crunches and we were pretty much out of control, they were running the show, that's when it actually went.
Nothing crashed.
Nothing crashed. Yeah. Nothing went wrong. It was just smooth.
Yeah, that was weird. Pretty amazing.
It felt weird.
We were all a little perplexed by that and really had no idea what happened.
That's actually a segment, What's New. I forgot to mention that. Right, that's right before the lightning round. So we're going to talk about Fox 8 in a couple of
minutes. So we're going to stick a pin in it?
We're going to put a pin in that.
Oh, okay. So don't talk about it right now?
Yeah.
All right, so what are we talking about next?
Well, that's a good question. Okay, thanks, Josh.
Nice to meet you, Josh.
Yeah, nice to meet you.
Okay, see ya.
Hopefully,
See you next week.
Yeah, just kidding. That kind of takes us...
I'm still here.
That takes us to our main segment. We're going to be talking about firsts, favorites, and worsts. And that's basically going to involve airplanes behind the scenes and worst crashes. And if we have time for it, favorite multi-copter. I just added that one.
I'm just keeping stuff in there.
Just keeping it fresh.
See, no organization at all.
No, yeah, this is fresh.
So first?
First, we're going to do first airplanes. So what was your first airplanes? what was your favorite airplanes and what's your worst favorite airplanes? However, there's a caveat to the section that Dave and I were talking about yesterday. And that's if just because we don't like something or do like something doesn't mean you have to have the same opinion as us. This is opinion time.
Yes, it does.
We are.
Speak for yourself.
We're free to have opinions here. No, I'm just saying that if somebody disagrees or something, it's okay.
This is sounding very PC.
Yeah, well... Never mind. This is the way it is, folks.
It is what it is.
What does caveat mean?
I don't know.
It's like it's, caviar,
it's,
but it's
we thicker. It's more, yeah, it's thicker and more expensive.
Yeah, delicious.
Made of fish eggs?
Yes.
Okay.
So is that our next topic?
Fish eggs?
Yeah. No, okay, I'll talk about my first. Okay. Was an EDF. it was an EPS EDF.
Did it go 100 miles an hour?
Oh, my God. I tried to fly that thing. And Wayne, who is involved in the show, he helps out behind the scenes, which we never gave him a shout-out. Wayne and Chris Roncaglione. Wayne Griffith and Chris Roncaglione.
Awesome, I want
to give
guys
a shout-out to, because those guys have been there since the beginning.
And we're going to try to have them on the show in the future, too.
Yeah, you guys need to hear
from them. They got a lot of dirt on us.
But Wayne was over at my house for a family gathering. I think, Josh, Scott, you might have been there.
Because we are family.
Yeah, I don't know if you remember. But we went out. This was before the show was started. And it was my first RC aircraft that I had. How did I? Oh, it was Christmas, because I just got it for Christmas. My wife bought it for me, and I went out trying to fly it, and of course, it was a failure. And I kept trying to launch and fly that thing and repair it until eventually it was just shreds of foam, and it was not repairable any longer. So that was, I am that guy. I am the guy that says, I'm going to get into the hobby and buy the EDF and fly 100 miles an hour. I wanted the fastest, coolest plane.
And you got the canopy still.
I still have the canopy. It's on our wall of memories.
Yes.
And even though it only kind of flew once, and looking back, I see exactly what I did wrong. I flew too much of an attitude and right into a stall every time.
Yeah, you did have an
Chad
attitude.
Chad had an attitude.
So that was my first, and my biggest failure I want to roll into really quickly was the box, the flying box, which if you look on our forum or somewhere, we have it. And I, the very first version flew the best, and the 18 versions after that only got worse. And I incorporated almost every piece of input from every viewer and audience member.
Why don't you put a gyro on it?
Yeah, that was the number one thing. Put a gyro on it. It's like, no, the gyro doesn't compensate for poor aerodynamics.
Yes, it does.
Good try.
The three gyros on it's really good.
I have a picture of a plane that whenever I... A while ago, I built KK1 boards, and I bought gyros, 150 gyros at a time, and I put as many gyros on a plane that I possibly could. It's just gyros all over. I'm like, it still doesn't fly good, and I posted that on a forum somewhere. That was pretty good. Let's see if I find that. That's
funny. So who's next? Who's first plane next?
I'll do first plane.
Sure.
And thank God I had a dad that got in the hobby about 3 years before me, because he kept me from getting the EDF jet that went 100 miles an hour.
Oh.
But his first plane,
An EDF jet back then?
No. Actually, but his first plane was
that's
electric.
That's what kept you
yeah,
from it.
That's what it was. His first plane that he ever bought after getting, my dad flew back in high school and college with escapements. I think they call it galloping ghost. You push one button, it goes left, two buttons goes right, and then next one's back to the middle.
Oh, wow.
And that's how you flew it, and the throttle just kind of kept you going. long story short, I'm going back to this for a reason. I begged him to get back in the hobby. He bought a plane called a Canario, and that Canario was electric and extremely heavy and flew horrible. And I remember him launching it, and it was just like everything was in slow motion. He went between the trees, looped around, and crashed straight into the ground. So that was my dad's first plane. But the reason I'm getting to that is he learned and kept me from going towards the things I couldn't fly. He got me a Gentlelady, and it was built by Carl Goldberg. It was a kit. His biggest belief was back then ARFs just weren't built well. And they're expensive and they're heavy. So we built them all ourselves. He sat down and we built this thing from the kit. Long story short, very first flight. If you heard that beat, my wife's coming in to do shipping.
Sorry. That's full disclosure, right?
Yeah.
I doubt squirrel, anybody heard
squirrel.
It.
Long story short, my dad. Oh, Max
Maxie!
Is here.
Max.
Hey, Maxie.
All right. My wife brought the dog too. Named Max.
Come on, Max.
So.
Hey, how you doing?
What were we talking about?
Yes.
We finished the Gentlelady, and you're going to hear Max until my wife
okay,
gets
Max. I'll take him out.
He's going to take him out.
Max just face-planted into the wall.
He's not the smartest dog.
But he's the cutest.
He is. He's fluffy. He's totally not a man's dog, but he's all man on the inside. So back to the first airplane. We didn't have a power pod for it, so my dad used the High Start. And if you guys watched the episode with the High Start, you saw that that was an old nemesis of mine. He launched it for me, and I promptly steered it right into the trees while the rubber band pulled it and just ripped it through branch after branch and ripped the whole thing apart. It took me about 3 weeks to put back together. By that time, I was scarred for life. And that was seven. And I was probably 10 years old before I could actually competently fly an airplane. We'll save how he got me to fly for another episode. But my worst failure was not that long ago. Is that what you went? You went newest plane, then worst failure, right?
Yes.
I love the Slowpoke Sport 40 by Great Plains. I absolutely love it. It looks like a flying cartoon. You guys know I love flying cartoons, but it was a kit. And the year my wife and I got married, I built the Slowpoke Sport 40, flew the tar out of it, and just had a ball with it. And what I did is I took the plans and I blew them up to 200% the size. So I took a 5-foot plane, made it a 10-foot plane. I put over, I think, just 2.5-3 years of my time, energy, and money, just here and there, you know, nothing priority. But when it finally came to the point where I had everything done, we had a huge party. And if you ever think about taking something really big that you kind of had a hand in designing or making fly and have a party, don't do it. It's going to end epically bad for you. It'll be really bad. We had a party, and we brought this thing out, fired it up, and the thing ran beautiful. It lifted off with no efforts, about third throttle, just puttered in the air. Everyone was cheering. At that point, I realized I built the rear section of the airplane completely wrong, and it started rocking back and forth more and more rapidly and just oscillating more and more to the point where it actually ripped my servos right out of my tail, and the plane, all 37 pounds of it, went straight into the ground with a thud that still is in my memory today and scarred me for life.
That was right before I met you.
That was. As a matter of fact, I showed you the picture, and I couldn't believe that you still hired me to do this after that because it was really bad. But
well, to be fair, it was still way more advanced than my recent crash. So,
well, it's a beautiful thing when you have failures like that. You can instantly learn a whole lot in about 20 seconds.
Well, you have to.
And what not to do again. And I instantly realized I really should have boxed that rear part of the fuselage in. And I kind of heard my dad's echo in my ear saying, always box it in, cross the grain and stuff. And I did not do that. So if you're ever building a big monster scratch build, keep in mind the torsion on the fuselage is kind of important.
All right. Josh, tell us about the fiberglass Fox.
Why do you have to bring that up?
It's going to be in every episode.
We're going to talk about that all the time.
The fiberglass Fox? Oh, it flew great into the ground.
Yeah.
It was the best flight ever.
Well, why did you trim it into the ground?
I did not trim it into the ground.
That's what everybody
Stop it.
Thinks.
That was the LA trip. And I put a lot of heart into that fiberglass Fox.
Yeah, you were up till like 3 a.m.
Yeah, we had digital servos, a monstrous motor. The thing was dialed in. We actually, and what people don't know, is we actually flew that beforehand, but it was a little bit tail heavy, and we landed it, and I made some adjustments, and it was in a rocky, like a riverbed of the desert. Do you remember that? It was crazy. I don't know why it did what it did, but I did learn something from my favorite Swede. I wish she would have told me earlier if I actually knew him then. I'm sorry, I'm touching the thing.
Yeah, don't touch things.
I'm still new to podcasts. I don't know what to do with my hands. I had all digital servos around, but no BEC. Did I say that right, David?
You had no external BEC.
No external BEC.
Built-in one and a tiny speed controller.
It wasn't tiny. It was 60 amps, but it was still 5 amps, and all those servos were digital. And I probably should have had a what on there. What do you think?
You should probably run a separate BEC of just more than that. Problem is when a built-in BEC gets over a certain temperature, it shuts down.
Yeah. So what happened is we launched it, and it was banking to the right. The whole time I was hitting the trim, counteracting that, it was actually a free flight at that point. It was going full throttle, and that's why I just laid it on. Also, with my radios,
I don't think you had control. It was probably a lockout.
Oh, it was total lockout, yeah. And I was just laying on. I do have like 32 steps to my trim, so when I hit the trim, the thing was going. I just held on to it until it started counteracting. But it wasn't doing anything because it wasn't listening to me.
Well, it's funny because people think that you're trimming it
into the ground.
Into the ground.
I can confidently say I believe it was pulling to the left, and I was pushing to the right. I would say that, and I would honestly admit to my failures with that. But it was pretty funny because it did cause quite a bit of controversy.
Well, and part of it, a lot of people wouldn't even know this. I don't even know if you know this, but the edit was compressed a little bit. So that trim noise that you heard was not completely in sync with what we were seeing. That trim happened prior. It was earlier than that. It's just when we edit things down, things get cut out.
Oh,
so
nice.
You didn't even know that. So we actually made you look worse by the edit.
Well, thank you, Chad. That's okay. The last episode with that whole glider launch, I kind of framed you on that.
Yeah, I see that. Yeah, Josh Scott sure helped.
However, I think the awkward, distant train sound, when there was awkward silence between me and Josh, I don't think that was edited in. I think that actually happened.
No, that actually happened.
Where was that train?
It
was,
I don't
like,
know.
Over a mile away.
It was perfectly timed.
Yes.
Because we were speechless.
Yeah. So if you guys have not seen the Fiberglass Fox episode,
it's
it
one
is
of,
worth
what was,
it.
What was the
it's one of my favorite, just for the fact of just being able to watch something fail.
So badly.
Like, that's all that episode is. There's no success in that episode. It's just one flight, one failure.
Yeah. Didn't
Thanks
Anthony
for great
email
television.
You, like, what kind of review is this?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Am I paying for this?
People weren't really happy about it. But yeah. In the end, I think everybody was fine.
It did get the chatter going, that's for sure.
So, Josh Scott?
Yep. That's what I was.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, Josh Scott, your first airplane and worst airplane.
They're both the same airplane.
Ooh.
Tough trainer.
Oh yeah.
And don't hate, because if you go back and watch, we gave it a positive review. That was because it hadn't been crashed yet. the Tough Trainer was good, and I had some good success with it at first, but once we put it into the ground a couple times, it just went all
wonky.
Yeah.
I think it was too
and
flimsy.
It was. I think it was all just rubber bands holding it together. But the thing would not fly straight for anything after that. But it was my first plane, and I did have some good flights with it. So can't hate on it too much. But once you put it into the ground, it just became a monster.
You want a plane that you can crash and still have fun with, right?
Yeah.
So what's your favorite airplane, Josh?
Favorite airplane. That's a great question.
You know what it is.
I think it's the Bixler.
That's right. Yeah, I'll pay you later, brother.
No, the Bixler's up there. That's definitely for sure. I love having a plane with a pusher prop that sits on top of the plane. That's huge, and it glides so nice. It's a great plane for beginners, actually. But aside from the Bixler, I'd probably say the Mini Swift. The first Swift that we did.
Oh, the Swift 2, you mean?
Swift 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't gotten that one out for a while. But, man, you can do a lot with those things. We did some FPV stuff. We broke a big thing of glass. Was it with the Swift?
No, it was
the
Texuma.
Oh, that's right.
It's almost the same thing.
But you can't. Yeah, you can do that. So it's a good platform. I like the way it handles. And it was my first flying wing. So it was pretty cool.
Best thing is, after lots of crashes, it still flies great, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, they get plenty of crashes, yes.
Mm-hmm. So, Austin, what is your first and worst?
Well, mine's going to be pretty brief. I'm not a very experienced pilot. I don't really have a lot of stick time, but actually next to none. But my first airplane, actually, when I was 9 or 10, I built a balsa wood Cessna with my grandpa. It was probably like 40-inch wingspan. It's a really, really good-looking plane. And by help him build, I mean I did like 3% of the work, and he did like 97% of the work. So I can't really say that I built it.
You held the glue and sanded a little.
I did, and I felt very important. But anyway, it probably had a total flight time of like a minute and 30 seconds. My grandpa was buddy boxing with a friend of ours that was very experienced. Handed the controls over to my grandpa. My grandpa drove it straight into the ground from about 200 feet in the air, just straight into the ground. So that was unfortunate, and also scarred me for life. I was like, this hobby's stupid. like, who does this? And so I guess a decade later, I built a baby blender, and David flew it for about 25 seconds.
I did the best I could. I did land it, and it was still in mostly one piece.
David's comment was, oh, did you build this yourself? And so just yesterday, David helped me scrape up things around the shop and made an FT flyer.
Nice.
Which I'm going to fly at Neat Fair and actually try to fly today. So that's probably my favorite plane. Probably the Baby Blender was the worst incarnation of the Baby Blender that's ever been created. And
I've seen some pretty bad ones, brother.
Well, mine's in my office with the servos gutted out of it. So I don't know. It's pretty shabby.
What I wanted to mention real quick, that sick gut feeling you had when that first crash happened is what Flight Test wants to help people overcome, because I felt like a utter human failure when I completely destroyed that EDF, my first, and any crash after that. You're like, I can't fly a piece of foam. I must be completely worthless. Like, that's how you feel. And it's good to have friends that are encouraging, because and I know, Josh Scott, you've had that feeling.
Every day.
And Bixler just seems optimistic all the time, so whether he has it or not, you can't see it.
I cry at night sometimes.
Yeah. So, but David, tell us about yours.
My first airplane was when I was around 10 years old. I bought... It was a dual brushed motor setup, and it was differential thrust, and it didn't have an elevator or anything. It's just it was actually two channels technically, because you only had two motors and it was mixing in it. So if you went full throttle, it was supposed to climb, and then it was differential thrust to turn it, and that was it. It didn't go too well. I saved up for... I think I saved for a year. All money I ever got, I just saved it, and I went to the toy store and bought this plane. It was up on a shelf, and it was dusty because no one touched it. And I was like, I need that plane. So I bought it and put it on the asphalt sidewalk we had outside our house there. Started, and it was maybe 200 meters. Full throttle, was like, barely climbed. I'm like, come on. And there's a fence and some light posts at the end of that. And it's like, barely cleared the fence, right into the light post. And just one wing just straight off. Tried to fix it, never hand launched it, never got to fly it. So I built a little ice racer out of it. I took the motors and put on a little sled I made, and I ran that on an ice hockey rink and ran that around. So I got good use for it, but it was so much money for what it was. It was stupid. That was my first plane, but the first plane I actually could fly, as such a long story, I don't know how much time we have.
It's okay, this isn't the lightning round.
Yeah, right.
So I actually started out with helicopters after that. I modified Xbox 3, the Xbox, the original Xbox, because you can't say Xbox One anymore. I modified those so you could play Xbox Media Center on them and stuff, use them as more as and then just a player. So I hacked them and I sold them. So I bought a new one cheap and sold them and so on. And
I'm really confused how this leads to planes.
Yes. Yeah. So I traded one of those.
You can tell us about Halo.
Yeah.
What's Halo?
No, don't go there. I traded that for a helicopter. I'm like, I want one of those. I so badly want to fly. So I got one of those, never got that.
Helos are so much easier than planes.
Yeah. So I sold that, got another helicopter, sold that, got another helicopter, and learned to fly on that. So I flew helicopters long before I flew planes. I learned on Corona 120, you know, which I got from the U.S. It wasn't available in Sweden. That company, on a side note, was bought by Multiplex and is now the Funcopter.
Yeah.
So I started flying that midwinter in the middle of the city behind my wife's apartment complex. There was a little pit, so to speak, that you could stand in. There was actually a garage down.
A grave, an open grave.
Yeah, more. So I just stood there, and it was so cold. I had like heating pillows on my shoulders and around my stomach, and I could fly for 2 minutes before I lost the feelings in my fingers, and the battery lasted for
I know you do Celsius. What's the rough temperature in Sweden in the winter? It's cold.
It's cold. It was roughly minus 15 degrees when I went out. No, Celsius. It wasn't that cold. So it's not...
No,
it's
minus 15 is not...
It's around 7.
No one really knows.
It's a little less than 0 degrees.
It's a world mystery.
0 degrees is 32 degrees Fahrenheit, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's around 0 degrees.
That's still crazy.
It's not bad.
That's cold.
So... Yeah, I had NICAD batteries on it. It was awesome. So I learned to fly on that and bought a Hurricane 550, flew on that, got to fly 3D on that and all that. Then I got my first plane. And I felt like a failure first time I flew a plane, because that was scary. I got a wing and went full throttle on it and threw it, and that thing was uncontrollable because it had, I mean, so much throw and stuff. I read on it, and everyone's like, yeah, go with these throws. I'm like, yeah, sure. And that's, I would barely fly that still today with those throws. It was so touchy. And I went straight into a rock, and it just obliterated this EPP wing. There was nothing left.
Why is it the planes always find the hardest surface possible to hit?
Yeah, I don't know.
It couldn't be a bush.
Yeah.
It had to be a rock.
Or a pillow.
After that, I got multiplex Easy Star. And first time I flew that, I got a friend of mine to trim it out for me, because I met people that actually flew then. And he trimmed it out for me, and I went out, and I threw it, and my brain's like, what are you doing? You're not moving the sticks. You're stupid. I'm like, oh, what? Because I'm used to flying helicopters.
Your brain's abusive.
Yeah, I know. It really is.
So I'm like, I couldn't fly it because I had to touch the sticks all the time. Or like, I flew it fine, but it was like flying a helicopter. It's like mental abuse all the time.
You're always doing adjustments. There's no such thing as just relaxing.
Yeah. So what I did was I put on an audiobook. So I had something to occupy my brain while I flew it in
was
the beginning.
To silence your abusive brain?
Yeah, so I could actually fly it. And I was,
did you get it from audible.com?
It has over 100,000 now. Yeah, so I don't know if that was very interesting. But.
Well, since the question was, what's every plane you've ever flown, no. I think you covered it.
Yeah, that was pretty good. So that's my first story.
I want to mention, Adam Dube actually asked the question, worst design failure. So
you covered that.
I wanted to give him credit for asking that question.
Nice.
Well, I think everyone kind of covered that. We're going to move on to kind of a behind-the-scenes question. Now, this isn't best and worst show ever. This is best and worst shoot ever. So, because you can have a great episode but have a horrible shoot and vice versa. So we're going to be talking about the shoot. What's your favorite shoot or the best shoot that you've been on for flight tests? And what's the worst
one? I can probably remember the favorite, but the worst I usually put out of my mind. I do. I'll remember if somebody jogs my memory, but I'm pretty good about if I don't like something or didn't have a good experience about just letting it go. So
we'll have somebody you can talk to after you
We're going to take you through a whole bunch of bad
memories.
It's
better that way. Ignorance is bliss.
Okay.
I remember my worst shoot, and it's one that didn't. Actually, Josh, you jogged my memory on that one. It was the F-14 Tomcat.
Oh, yeah.
That was the early days, and...
Yeah, you guys never saw that.
Sorry, I was covering...
Josh is covering his mouth.
I was covering my mouth, so... I'm still new to this. Patience. The F-14 Tomcat, you just started letting me... said, you know, take this home, build it, and put two speed controls...
Well, that
controls.
Was part of the first shipment from Hobby King,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and you never saw it, you never will see it.
That was a horrible plane.
So underpowered. But you know what? It was that classic, oh, this is going to be so cool. Look, two motors, two speed controls. Oh, it's going to fly so fast.
I think, wasn't it going to be our first jet, too?
Was it pre Bluebirds?
No, I don't know. It was Bluebirds, right around. It was right around the same time.
Blue Angels.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think
I don't remember which one was first.
It was around the same time.
It was probably supposed to be, but then the F-18 was.
Do you remember the C-30? I'll let you talk about the C-30 because you have a lot of story. I just took Chad to a bad place.
Yeah, the C-30 was the gyrocopter that we got from Hobby King. It was the very first shipment we got, and it was balsa. It was beautiful. I actually was blown away by the detail and the balsa build, and it was great. However, it never flew. Me and Eric Monroe put it together, or he mostly him, and you know, because he had more experience and knowledge than I did at the time. However, we went out, I don't know how many times, probably three or four, and each time ended up wrecking it and having to build new pieces. And we didn't have the resources and the tools and the supplies that we do now. So we were definitely trying to.
I remember the stress level. I was like, we got to get this thing flying and figure it out.
It was our first review. It was supposed to be for Hobby King. And so what was our first review for Hobby King? It was a battery, wasn't it?
I believe it was a battery. Yeah. Also, we did the Blue Angels. Because we built, while Eric and you were working on the C-30, I put together the Blue Angels.
Okay, that takes me to one of my favorite shoots, was with an iPhone in the Walmart parking lot. Josh Bixler, my son Christian, and Eric Monroe and I we built the FA-18 and took it to Walmart at like midnight. And it was so funny because now, like, I would probably still do it. But Josh Bixler just pretty much said yes to everything. I'm like, well, it's done. Can we go fly it? And he's like, where? I'm like, Walmart. Well, there's lights.
I wanted the job really bad.
So he just said yes to everything.
That's why I learned director says so.
So it was cool because there were no cars out there. It was completely, pretty much empty. And he took it up and it went outside or above the lights and it disappeared.
All you could hear was the sound of the motors.
Right. So we're recording it and you just see it go up. It's on the Flight Test Gremlin channel.
Check out Flight Test Gremlin.
That's our secret channel. It's not a secret now. But anyhow, that was probably one of my favorite shoots. I mean, there's lots of them.
We got that thing in the car and got out of there quick.
Yeah.
That was pretty funny.
Well,
that was stupid. We should never do something like that.
Pretty much all the shoots out in L.A., I had a blast.
Yeah.
I think. What did you think, Josh?
Yeah, definitely. Actually, there's a lot of shoots that we talked about that we plan something and it doesn't work. And so then we pull something out of our butts really quick. And then that usually ends up being a really good episode. And one of them, I wouldn't say the episode didn't work, but what was the biplane that we reviewed out in L.A., out in the... out in the...
The biplane.
The rocks. The pits.
What were those rocks called?
Python. Pits Python. Yeah.
So that was really rough terrain to review that because... where were we at? Vasquez?
Yeah, it's where they shot the famous Star Trek episode where Captain Kirk is walking up the rock.
So the ground is all uneven and... Not to mention giant rock formations coming
and
out of the
weird
ground.
Air burbles everywhere.
Right. So the pits went into a bush, and that's basically how the episode ended. But from that, we were there. We're at this great location. Like, what else can we do? So we talked about differential.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which I had no idea what it meant. But it was just an episode of me and Josh talking about differential.
Well, you're standing on a rock.
And we're standing in a really cool location. And we intercut some cool, like, 3D graphics and stuff like that, didn't we?
No. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was.
Yep. We were holding the fox before it died, too.
Yeah, yes, that's right. And so that actually, if you asked anybody within a short amount of time after that episode aired, that was a lot of people's favorite episode just because of how informative and simple it was. So it's pretty cool.
We didn't even fly.
No, we just stood there and talked.
So you're trying to say it's your favorite episode?
No. It's not my favorite. I'm just saying it's just a little nugget that got pulled out of a, you know, sort of bad situation. Another one is when we tried to do Rocket Plane.
Rocket Plane!
For the first time.
The rocket, not the one David put the rocket on.
No, but the one that was attached to, we tried to launch it. From
it's from Frankenplane.
Yeah,
Frank for short.
And that didn't work. We were mid shoot, and we tried it, and it just didn't happen. So we had to fill that with something, and so that's where we came up with the FPV tow glider, where we towed the.
It was a Chuck glider.
Yeah, what's it called? The
EPP FPV
Phoenix.
The Phoenix
100.
So that actually ended up being a really cool episode, but we just made it up on the spot because the rocket wasn't happening.
But when he says wasn't happening, it went into a tree, and Frankenplane was destroyed, and the rocket plane was destroyed.
Yeah.
They were both balsa
horribly.
Planes.
They're both balsa build-up planes. It was bad, so it didn't just not happen. It ended.
Yes. It ended badly, but something good came out of it.
Very good.
David, what about you?
What was the question? Favorite
episode?
Yeah, favorite shoot and worst shoot.
Prepping for the FT Cruiser was the worst I've ever felt before a shoot, by far.
Tell them why, David.
Because we got, it was like, Josh like, oh, I need two cruisers by tomorrow. I'm like, it's like 12 in the midnight.
We need full disclosure here. How many cruisers did you crash?
That was only
Two. So the reason we needed two cruisers by tomorrow was because David crashed the two cruisers I built. Carry on.
They asked me to get some footage, and I did.
Yeah, of it going to the ground.
So, yeah, that was I stayed up till pretty late, and then I only got like 2 or 3 hours sleep that night, and then we had the shoot, and it was a long day.
You felt great.
Yeah, but I'm mostly like Chad. I forget all the bad stuff. I really try to. Problem is, I don't remember the best shoots either. Like the Spitfire was probably one of my favorites when we just had a lot of people up in the air, and we for most of it, at least me, I forgot that we were rolling. We're just flying and having a good time. Yeah,
that was fun.
I can tell you, even the worst shoot, I look back, is still better than most other days.
Yeah, any day at my old job, the worst shoot is still better than that.
Yeah. I did want to bring up the Corey Feldman shoot. That was kind of... That was probably my worst, now that I'm thinking about it. Yeah. So Josh Scott just kind of jogged my memory.
That was just a... It was just a bad experience all around.
Okay, before we continue, people that are not into movies, Corey Feldman is one of the characters.
He's in
Goonies and Stand By Me.
Stand By Me is mostly...
Lost Boys.
Yeah.
The two Coreys.
So when we were in L.A., we made this connection where we were able to have Corey Feldman in an episode. And that was the basis... for the episode.
Back then, one of the things I was trying to do was just try different things and see what people responded to. And I thought, oh, get a celebrity in, and it's great. Okay, continue.
So we're waiting at the flying field for Corey to get there. And that's when we decided to come up with, okay, so what are we going to talk about? Well, it was insanely windy that day. Extremely.
Well, I don't think it was when we first started talking about it, and it picked up.
Yeah.
Didn't it?
Okay. Yeah.
It's about 30 miles an hour.
Yeah.
It was very, very windy. So we had the idea. I don't even know if we knew what we were going to talk about.
We were going to train him. We're going to just teach him the basics.
Yeah. And it turned into, let's talk about flying in the wind.
Well, because there was no training at that point.
No, it was just surviving in the wind. And so we're waiting. I don't remember if we were waiting for him to get there or if this was when we were waiting for him to get out of the bathroom, which I don't know if we can bring that up or not.
Chad, are we allowed to bring that up?
It's just awkward, I guess.
That's the whole other side of the story.
I haven't heard that.
The awkward part was waiting about 45 minutes.
Yeah, it's a good one. And maybe we won't bring it up just to
preserve this, right?
Some character.
Yeah, well, we don't edit this, so we already did.
Oh, okay.
Anyway,
moving along,
irrelevant. So we're waiting for him, and we think, how about if this is how the episode starts? Josh and Josh are flying this plane, and it's really windy, and it crashes behind these trees, and then all of a sudden, we're wondering where the plane landed, and then Corey Feldman pops out of the trees holding our plane. Hey, what is this, you guys? What's going on? And that was a very pivotal and important moment in flight test history, because that's when we realized that we can't act.
we were trying to contrive scenes because I guess that's more my background is filmmaking and that, but when you're not working with, you know, people that signed on to be in a movie or, you know, then don't try to do that.
Suck.
No, it's just a different format. it's just we're best at being us and just being us. But go ahead, Josh, sorry.
Man, and you guys can chime in whenever you want to. But we decided to can that whole thing, and we just actually I think it was Josh's idea. Why don't we just say, hey, we're in Los Angeles, we found a celebrity, and we thought we'd do an episode with him. And so that's basically how we opened it.
Just one take, thank God.
Yeah. And then we just went right into, so we're going to teach Corey how to, you know, some tips on flying in the wind. And he was an interesting individual, one that I am not in a hurry to cross paths with again. that was, and there's lots of other details that I don't know if we can really get into all that stuff, but...
I think to summarize that, to not leave too much to the imagination, is just it was a different personalities just didn't click.
Yeah.
Like we're pretty much us and who you see, and you know, we got into that scene a little bit and tried to Hollywood it up a bit, and it didn't work. And it wasn't even a popular episode. And so we learned our lesson. We moved on. And
best part was the landing at the end. That was fun.
That
oh,
was
yeah.
Awesome. That was amazing.
Like, yeah, that was like almost a backwards landing.
Yeah. Good job, Josh.
We were trying to close the episode, and the prop kept spinning up really loud.
Right. So, no, it was good. And, you know, in the end, he was a good sport. And, you know.
And he got a free plane out of it.
Yeah, he got a free plane.
Did they ever even produce that plane? That was like a pre-production because nothing fit, and it was really...
Is that a Wildcat?
It was the Hellcat.
Hellcat. Yeah. It was an F6F.
Yes.
I don't know. Was that an Artec plane?
I think it was an Artec plane, but I think Hobby King never carried it. If they did carry it, it was months and months afterwards.
Yeah, I'm not sure. But, we never actually reviewed it.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
Did we?
Mm-hmm. It's the first one that we did out there.
Oh, yeah, that's
we were
right.
Spalding the Basin.
Yeah. Hmm. Boy, after 320 some episodes, you
ancient history
stuff
yeah.
like that.
Yeah, that's funny.
So, what's next on the agenda?
Next, we're going to be moving on to the next segment right before the lightning round, which we're going to be talking about what's new with Flight Test. Which, obviously, one of those things is the Fox 8 interview.
Oh yeah, not the Fox plane, but the Fox 8. That's
correct.
The local CBS, or no, I'm sorry, Fox affiliate. They used to be CBS.
Sure, sure. No, we. Basically went and kicked it with Kenny.
Yeah, Kenny was awesome.
Was cool.
He had so much energy.
Yeah. He's a great guy.
Feel crazy. He has an earbud in his ear, and people are talking to him, saying, okay, we're doing this in five, and he can hear all these other conversations, and at the same time, he's carrying a conversation with us and doing other things.
Oh, yeah.
It's just crazy. I mean, that is...
Well, I'm just amazed at how much we got into. So if you get to see the, if you want to see the piece, fox8.com, the link will be up for a little while. You can see a... clip from the broadcast, the live broadcast they did.
We did, what was it, 4 3-minute long segments?
Yeah,
and they were live, which made things very interesting.
Yeah, especially when they said we want to do the only feed from the live downlink from the hexacopter.
Yeah, that never goes
and Chad, wrong. Here, fly this. I'm like, I was just going to demo it, not run the main camera.
And it was live.
Yes. And then they liked it so much, they said, let's do it again.
The look on Chad's face was the best. He's just like, what?
I'm like, wait, do you realize like our percentage of success on
honestly
is not that high?
I think that made the segment though. I mean, like,
I think it did.
The information was great, and I talked to a few people that aren't very familiar with Flight Test that saw the segment, and they said, wow, the message really came through about what you guys do, and you know what your mission is, what your purpose is. But at the same time, they were just talking about how cool the segment was, like just because. I don't know if it made television history doing a live link to a hexacopter.
That's good to claim that.
Yeah, we can say that. Television history.
Cleveland television.
Here we go.
History.
Yes, absolutely.
Cleveland television history.
It was ironic. Yesterday, across the street from where Flight Test Compound is a car lot. And we went over. We're going to be going to Neat Fair.
Uh-huh.
And they have an RV. I want to see if I could rent their RV. And we were talking about what we do over here. And the guy's like, oh, I saw this cool thing on Kicking It with Kenny. He goes, you ever seen these guys? I was like, that's us.
So wait, he was talking to the guy he saw on there.
Exactly.
And he was telling you about it.
Actually,
him.
I went, hi. And he goes, that was you. So apparently GoPros don't show very good detail on everything.
Yeah. But, or he just has facial blindness.
Facial blindness.
Yeah.
I think that's
an epidemic.
Facial blindness.
I'm serious. I think my wife has it.
That was a blast.
She does recognize me, though. I think it's from her voice.
That's good. That's funny, though. Hey, did you hear about those guys?
Yeah, I heard about those guys. They're in Cleveland. It was on Kicking with Kenny.
So, yes, we had our 9 minutes of fame or whatever ended up being on Fox 8
News. It was fun.
Can we cover this real quick? Because we had a couple people ask it, and I know it's been a popular
From Caleb Scott?
Yeah, we got a couple questions since I brought it up now. Yeah. Caleb Scott and Jason Davis.
It's a question directed towards you, Chad.
Yep, that's why I pulled it.
Yeah, there you go.
Caleb Scott, any relation
hey,
to
Caleb,
you?
See you at the reunion.
So their questions were, where did the Flight Test logo Gremlin originate from, and what was the inspiration for the Gremlin logo? And what that was before anything existed, maybe even before the name, I wanted to create a trusted brand, which I mentioned last podcast episode. But I wanted it to mean something. I wanted it to come from, you know, somewhere special. And I remember running around with my hands outstretched as a kid and just pretending like I was flying and just I don't know, maybe it's a little too sappy, but...
He still does this, by the way.
Yeah, well, not in public. So, all the time. And it was just that, but I didn't want to necessarily put a face on it and make it someone or try to... It'd just be like a creepy little character. So I thought, if it's just kind of this ambiguous gremlin guy, because the gremlin comes from, you know, the history of aviation, these little creatures that would tear apart aircraft.
Bugs Bunny had a lot of them.
Oh, yes, yes. And so I liked mixing kind of that mythology with, you know, something from my childhood. And when I started flying again, when I got over the sickness of crashing, that's how I felt. I felt like a kid again. I felt energized and renewed, and I just wanted to go explore and have fun. And so it was really just imagery that kind of, you know, came from a mixture of my childhood and that. And the circles at the bottom were just something to help balance it. And I love circles and logos. So actually, Chad Austin, which, yeah, it gets really confusing. He's somebody that Josh Scott works with at the church. He was the one that was able to incorporate those concentric circles in a way that that it ended up being. Because I gave him the gremlin and said, that with circles. And then he came up with the design that you see. And then recently it's been updated a little bit. And so that's a very detailed description of how the logo came about. I hope that...
Now we have Scratchy Gremlin.
I can't imagine what you didn't cover with that.
You know, I do like how it went from really clean-cut Gremlin to Scratchy, because that does kind of personify what Flight Test became.
Yeah, we had to gritty it up a little bit. It was a little too clean.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and all of the planes come out of the box looking clean, but right, after we get our hands on, they're scratchy. Yeah,
right.
Definitely.
I think that in the future we should do a segment, not just what's new in Flight Test, we should do what's old in Flight Test, because... I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be kind of fun.
Well, actually, it'd be cool. What if we did a segment where we picked an episode and we talked about all the behind the scenes on that episode?
That'd be cool.
Could be an episode itself, I'm sure.
And then we'll do a video of that podcast doing...
Exactly.
And then we'll do a podcast of that video of that podcast.
Right.
I got a headache.
It's like Inception, Flight Test. Also, what's new? This is... Today. Is it today we're releasing the FT Racer and
FT Duster and FT Racer will be on the store, but there's an asterisk.
Asterisk.
Where tomorrow we are going to Neat Fair. Mm-hmm. So
nothing's being sent out this
nothing's
week.
Nothing's being sent out. We are finishing off our orders, but as of today, nothing from today until Monday.
But this podcast will be released on Monday.
That so dates this podcast a little bit.
Actually, this podcast is not released until the
The following Monday. Well, so we're talking about the past.
Unless we're changing it and we're doing it every week.
No. Everything you just heard does not matter.
Forget everything you just heard.
All right, so let's move on to the next thing.
All right, next thing is the lightning round. We're going to ask a few questions. We're going to try to answer them as quickly as possible so we can get through as many questions as possible.
Funny things.
We're coming up on an hour here, so we want to make sure we get through some of these. The first question is from Will Rice. This was the top voted question on facebook.com/flighttest, which is where we pump out a lot of our questions. We wish you asked. So, anyway, this is for Josh, I suppose. Would it be...
What, Josh?
Josh Bixler. Would it be possible to create a foe for the Flight Test Spitfire and then sell them as a dogfight double?
Yes. A matter of fact, and that was thanks to an amazing contributor, and now I really feel bad. I wish I had his name. We're going to give him all the praise. And also Alex Savada, who is an amazing employee. BF-109. Is going to be the foe.
It's a cool airplane.
A gentleman has already done this, done an amazing job. The thing looks beautiful. We're going to put a Flight Test spin on that. We'll make sure we give him credit. But yes, the Spitfire needs a foe, and we're really going to break off and do swappable warbirds.
Nice.
I have my heart set on doing a P-40. Chad, I think you want to do a
P-51. P-51, yep.
Yep, and I also want to tackle, I know there's a couple P-38s. I want to take my attempt at a P-38 and have a swappable twin.
I'd also say a Corsair.
Corsair.
That'd be nice.
Oh, we got to get a Corsair in there, Josh.
You got to always...
Wait, are you afraid?
I'm anti-Corsair right now. Well, think about this. You got you got foam board that's generally really good for boxes, but
so
not
you
really
can't
good for
do
round.
It. Okay.
Stop.
I'll do it.
Okay, fine. Talk me into it.
Wait, this is a lightning round. I'm out now.
I hate being manipulated.
This question is for David. Actually, we were talking about this the other day. It says, David, if you are married, did your wife come to America with you? Does she fly? Does she support your hobbies?
I'll start from the back. yes, she supports my hobby in a tremendous amount. Thank you very much. And she's back in Sweden. She's a teacher in math and physics at a high school level. She's doing really good. I don't see her for 3 or 4 months at a time. But as she's a teacher, she got a little bit more than 6 weeks off and for the summer vacation. So she was here for 5 weeks, which is kind of nice. And I'm going home over Christmas to see her again. So it's tough, but it works. Skype and technology really helps a lot. And yes, she does fly when I force her to. I trained her for a competition we were in while I was at a RC hotel in France. I don't know how you say
we
that.
Say France.
France. France. Yep.
France.
That's how
France.
That's how it's written on the mop.
So we trained her. There was a 24-hour flight. If you had a girl in your team, you were allowed to have 3 people fly. So I taught her to fly, and she.
Is that sexist?
Yes.
Totally. Yes.
It's not all right. There's no women listening to this podcast.
Oh, that's true.
This is sexist too. It's a safe place, I think.
So there won't be any women listening now.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we just ruined it. Great. Sorry, ladies.
She does fly, and she's just not into it. Not as much. She likes hanging out, though.
She's very artistic, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she paints a lot.
All right, well, that question was from Brad Talis, so thank you, Brad. Next question is from Ezra Grothy. I don't know how you say that. And the question is for Chad. And the question is, if I came to Ohio, do you see visitors?
Oh, I suppose if you drove all this way. But so what we'd like to do is start having regular open houses to where people can come and visit. And we'll try to get that on a regular basis, maybe once a month or something. And we'll do that. Other than that, it's hard to create individual visit days. So I apologize. It's not that we don't want to. It's just we're slammed.
Yeah, there's not much time.
One thing also is seminars possibly in the future too. That'll be another opportunity.
Yep.
So,
all right. So lightning. Sorry.
Yeah. No problem. next question is for Josh and David. That's just who.
I did not do that.
Our microphones just fell over, but it's okay. Everybody's nobody got hurt.
I can't see the things bouncing.
We're okay here. This question is from Jeff Christbaum, and he is directing this to Josh Bixler and David. The question is, now that you are getting paid to enjoy your hobby, are you afraid that it'll cease to be fun someday, as now it is technically work?
No.
A little bit. I mean...
Wait, are you guys having fun?
Yeah, a little bit.
Oh.
there's a lot of work-related stuff that is not fun. When it's really stressful, nothing is really that fun. But on the other hand, there's a lot more fun than a normal job. Anything. And there is a difference between what we do, what we want to do, and what we have to do, more or less. I don't know where I'm going with this. So what I'm saying is, if there's something I want to do, I go here on the weekends and do that. And something I have to do, I do that on work hours.
Because you have to do it.
Yeah. But it's not... Sense. Yeah. No, I don't feel like... I'm not going to run out of steam anytime soon, I don't think.
That's cool.
So the answer is yes, no, maybe so.
Yeah, well, I know Bixler's not going to run out of steam because he's had every chance to be burnt out and he just keeps going.
Every day is a blessing.
And yeah, I don't know how you do it because I get tired.
Caffeine and Jesus. we have
in,
a blast.
In that order?
Can you buy that at Walmart?
No, yeah. I'm like, Lord, where's the coffee maker? Yeah, it's crazy. We get to do something amazing, and it's entirely from the viewers. The fact that I love the fact that there's by the end of this week, we need to make something happen. You know, we need to make something fly. We need to design something. That is an energy. It becomes almost, I don't want to sound bad, but it almost becomes like a drug. To have a challenge issued, by the end of the week, you need to deliver. And the whole journey to get to that episode, usually we only work about 1 week ahead of time. We're trying to make something fly or accomplish something. We're trying to make it further, but it's a little hard, isn't it, Dave?
It's hard.
Yeah. But that's really cool. And when it comes together, or when it doesn't come together, but we learn something from it, it's a really cool thing. So good question.
Next question is for Josh Scott. It's from Yaakov Bitton. Sorry if I butchered that. Probably did. Josh Scott, do you have a multicopter?
I don't. I do not.
Do you want one?
As long as it's got the RD pilot in it, I'll take it.
That's right. Thank you very much, Josh.
That was a true lightning round answer.
If you think Josh Scott should have a multicopter
with the RD pilot,
let us know. Yeah.
Next lightning. Question. Next question is.
That was good.
Thank you.
I'll slow it down.
That was awesome. David, what's your favorite location you've ever flown FPV?
Chad's basement.
Yeah. there depends on, like, it's so hard to say one location. It all depends on more than just the location. It's about timing as well. So I can fly in a backyard. If the conditions are right, it looks gorgeous.
Nice.
But flying above alligators in Florida was kind of exciting. It's pretty good. I mean, but every location gets boring after a while. That's just how it is. You can't milk a location forever.
It's true. The next question is from Thomas Shelton, and we're kind of wrapping this up here. I think this is one I can answer. The question is, I couldn't listen to the first podcast because I don't have Apple products and use iTunes. Please, please, please set the audio to a static image and post on YouTube.
How many please was that?
That was three pleases. So
one more.
So that means we,
that was please cubed.
I thought we had to do it after three.
Yeah, right. So if you're listening to this, Thomas, you obviously figured out how to listen to the podcast. But I'm not sure. I'm not sure what the last part of that means. Posting it to YouTube, whatnot. But we have show notes where you can play it online, just on your browser. You can download any app for Android or for. You don't have to have an iPhone to listen to podcasts.
You can download the MP3, right?
You can download just the MP3. So all that's available. There's like infinite ways you can listen to podcasts. I use Pocket Casts by Shifty Jelly, and that's available for Android and iPhone. So you just search for Flight Test and download the episode. Okay. Well,
that's a good answer. I'm going to do something real quick that's unplanned because I want to get as many people's questions in as possible. I'm going to try a true super fast maximum lightning round.
All right.
Which Mark Dinney, Chris Fanson, and Tom Lagerwerf. I'm sorry, Lagerwerf.
Come on, this is super fast lightning round.
Yes,
hurry.
Have all asked about stabilization gimbals and such. Like, did you stabilize the tricopter footage?
No.
No?
We don't because they, it takes time.
He balances props. Okay, next. you recommend head tracker brushless gimbal setup. Right now, I like the RC timer gimbal.
Yeah,
it's been really good. Worked well. Are you going to do a video on gimbals? Probably. next, Jose Bustos and Felix Gruber were asking about Chad, me, being on the videos. Am I shy or do I sometimes want to be in the videos or not? I don't know. I guess I'm there when I'm needed and not when I'm not. So if you want me on more, I can dream up reasons to be there, but I just don't want to be
lightning,
where I don't need
lightning,
to be.
Lightning.
Okay. Bernardo Gonzalez, Chad or David. Will there be any new multi-rotor frames coming out? Josh, will you be releasing any battery or camera mounts for the FT Versa?
Yes.
Yes on the battery mount or camera. Yes, there will be more multi-rotor frames.
Yes.
Matter of fact, a lot more FT elements to come.
Jonathan Gamillis. Is someone or somebody, were to travel, he had asked about if somebody were to travel to U.S., can he visit?
Oh.
If you're going to purchase a plane ticket to the U.S., we'll probably make it time for you. So
It's not because we don't want to either.
Right.
We love getting to
meet Jimmy Kaysan, he's quite active on our Facebook. David and Chad, what do you think the next big RC thing will be? 4 years ago, we never heard
Bixler
of multi-rotor.
I see Bixler, David, and Chad. You just left me out.
Yeah, Bixler.
I'm not bitter.
It's because you're making it long, so that's why I left you out. Whatever it is, I'm sure David will be one that invents it.
I think it will be rocket-powered Dragon.
I think rocket-powered multi-rotors, but it really wouldn't be a rotor. Dragon. It'd be a multi-rocket.
unicorn, flying unicorns.
Okay. We have no idea. I don't know. And then Jens, Peter, help me.
Strandvall?
Yes. You can pronounce better than I can. Best FPV platform plane multi-rotor for windy conditions. I personally love the Hex David built for me out of the Anycopter frame. That with the DJI NASA has been phenomenal in the wind. So.
Yeah, because it takes away all the movement.
Bixler, what do you think?
Yes.
I think Bixler's new huge wing is pretty awesome.
They don't know about that yet.
The secret.
Well,
they've secret.
Oh. But it's probably
going to be out. Neat fair. Strike that.
Yeah. In the neat fair, we're going to fly it at neat fair.
Oh, yeah, we're going to have some fun with that in the neat fair.
So yep. It'll be out. Dun, dun, dun. Josh, got any input on that?
Hey, cool, yeah.
All right, sorry. There we go.
No, that's fine.
You got through a lot.
That was very impressive.
That's a lightning round.
That's how we should have done this whole thing.
Yeah, we need to prepare our answers beforehand so it's like a sentence. That's actually a good
He's
idea.
He's marking them off. It brings them happiness.
Yes, it does.
Exactly. All right, we're kind of wrapping this up. We had some technical difficulties with how we constructed the show notes for last episode. So we're going to, like we've said before, we're learning this and figuring it out. We don't have it all figured out. So is what we're going to do. If you want to access the show notes where we'll list any of the links we talked about or any of the episodes we talked about, you'll be able to find those there, any of the people we talked about. You can access that by clicking the podcast icon on the homepage.
Yeah, we'll put a podcast link on the homepage, and you can always go there to find our latest podcast.
And we'll just list all the episodes there, and you can
Yep, and when you click on it, it'll be show notes and maybe some images and links to things that we talked about.
So icon on homepage, flighttest.com, it'll say podcast. Click on it.
Oh, and by the way, share this.
Yes.
If you guys share it, then it lets us know that it's worthwhile and we'll keep doing it. And also your input. We're reading your questions. We want to hear from you.
We're all talking louder.
Yes.
We're talking louder. And also, I just wanted to be transparent with you guys about the reviews you've left in iTunes so far. We've had quite a few more than I expected. I think we have like 14 reviews or something like that.
And something, yeah.
iTunes, probably more if you're listening to this now. But I just want to talk about what your reviews do. Your reviews do something extremely important.
It hurts our feelings.
Yeah, they hurt our feelings.
The good ones.
Yeah, right, not the good ones. Well, no, we got all 5 stars, I think, so far. But not only do they give us positive feedback and valuable feedback, but they also help us shape the quality, direction, and content of future podcasts. But most importantly is what leaving a rating or review in iTunes does. It helps a stranger discover Flight Test because we don't really know the algorithms and iTunes and how they rank content and how they feature content, but we know that reviews and ratings really help with that. So I think that if you go and rate and review in iTunes this podcast, you'll help a stranger find the Flight Test community, and they might join and be a big contributor. So you help with that if you're able to leave a rating and a review. You can access that by going to flighttest.com/iTunes, and that'll take you to a page where you can click reviews and ratings and leave us one there. We really appreciate it. That being said, we got a lot of really kind reviews. I don't really have time to read them. I was going to read some of them, but maybe we will next time.
All right. Well, Austin, I want to thank you for getting this podcast put together because
good job, Austin.
Yeah, people seem to like it, and you do a great job at running things here. So thank
Chad and Austin are hugging right now.
No, we're not. We have GoPros going, so I approve.
Yeah, we approve. Oh, shucks, guys. Thanks. All right. Well, I think this is a wrap.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Thank you, guys, for being here. Josh Scott, thanks for making time out of your busy schedule.
Absolutely.
I know it's been a rough summer with everybody's schedules. So. So David, Josh Bixler, Austin, thank you guys so much.
Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll see you next time.
See you. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.